Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast Supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Hello and welcome to episode 419 of Geek Town Radio. I'm your host Dave, and with me this week is
to infinity and beyond.
Matt, how you doing?
I'm good, David. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you very much. What have you been up to?
Well, seeing as my intro is for the two of those guys, I'll start with the fun part. I got a new tattoo.
I saw
recently.
That. Yes.
Yes.
Awesome.
Yeah. It is I'd say the typical Buzz and Woody pose. I don't really know what you'd consider that to be. It's the one of them standing sort of shoulder to shoulder.
Yeah.
Me, my mum, and a friend of ours, we started talking about this last year. It got to about June last year. Mm-hmm. And they started saying, hey, you know, it's your birthday's not here yet, but it's creeping up, sort of thing. Because sometimes we sort of, oh, that thing's months away or ages away, I'll deal with it later. And then they said, what do you want to do? And the idea was eventually brought up of, because I already have one tattoo, said, oh, yeah, do you want to get another tattoo? And then we went through, okay, what do you really love? And of course, Toy Story came into the conversation very quickly in that situation. And we immediately thought of where I wanted it, which was on my arm. The idea came together very quickly. It was just like, what pose do I want them in? Mm-hmm. And I didn't want anything too sort of big or expansive or anything. It has to fit in a certain way so that I can see it well, other people can see it well, other sorts of things.
Yeah.
As things went further and further, and as I eventually spoke to my same tattoo artist from before, things got a little more complicated than what I expected. There was a certain way I, in my mind, wanted this to be done, which was not the same way that you've seen it now. And it's funny because I went there and I thought, okay, I'm going to have to listen to, I'll put across my own idea of what I want, but I'll have to listen to him because he's been a tattoo artist for about 15 years and he knows what he's talking about. Yeah. And I don't. Right. And I went there and said, like, hey, can I have this? He's like, yeah, where do you want it? I was like, this way. And he immediately went, no, you can't do that way. The ink won't work. It'll be too small. It'll be too sort of blotchy and it won't sit well. And I was like, oh. Right. And then he said, oh, you can still have it on your arm, but you have to have it this way. And then you have to listen to what this guy is saying because he knows what he's talking about and you don't.
Yeah.
Eventually settled on that. I love it now. It was just a case of I wasn't sure what it looked like at the time and stuff. What do you think of it?
It's so sweet that you've got that done because I know how much of a massive fan you've been for your entire life, basically. I mean, you've grown up with these characters. I think it looks great. I mean, you posted some pictures and I thought it's a great piece of work by the tattoo artist and looked really good. So, yeah, I'm so glad you've had that. And happy birthday for later this week as well.
Thank you. Yeah, so for those of you that are wondering, it's on Wednesday 17th this week. Yeah. So a couple of other little birthday plans. Obviously, there's a normal family and friends meals come later on. And then on my actual birthday, because for some reason I didn't have on my mind, okay, what do I want to actually do on the day? Because I've been so focused on the tattoo for so long. I decided, now I haven't got the VHS I'm going to watch at the moment. Hopefully it's going to arrive soon. I was going to play Crash Bandicoot 3 on a PS1. And long story short, that plan has come together. I do have the game. I do have a working PS1. Just about working PS1. It's making some noises. It's chugging along. but it is old. I think it's our original PS1. I asked my dad, I was like, okay, is this our same one? He's like, I think so. but that's working really well. So that was nice to set up. And then if the VHS arrives in time, I'm going to watch Toy Story 2 on VHS.
Excellent.
Yeah. I mean, sure, got it on Disney Plus, got, I think, two versions on DVD. I got one in here and one in my bedroom. But I thought, okay, yeah, sure, it'd be nice to stick on a film I really love. But what about if I watch it in like an actual proper retro way? Obviously, I can't go and see it on a big screen because no one's got it like locally or whatever. That's harder to do. Two's actually my favorite one. And the first one, if you remember, I think came out last year in the cinema. So I've had like a recent experience of that one.
Yeah.
But yeah, I thought, watch the second one on VHS. Again, that is dependent on if it arrives in time or not. Hopefully it will. Because, you know, Crush and Toy Story is kind of like my retro memory. So I thought I'd kind of, you know, 30 years later, kind of revisit some of that stuff. So
awesome. Yeah.
That's hopefully going to be very fun. What should I speak about next? I'll leave the Pixar stuff till last. I finished Halo Season 2.
Yes.
I say I finished Halo Season 2. I watched the first episode. I thought, okay, that was better than what I thought it was going to be. My expectations were very much on the ground because, as you know, I didn't really enjoy Season 1. Season 2 came out. I didn't catch it weekly at all. The whole thing was out by the time I got to it. And I heard some opinions online of sort of, it's a bit better, but it's still not what it sort of should be. And obviously, I know you'd spoken about it and stuff. Mm-hmm. And what I liked from what you described is interesting because obviously a lot of people's complaints, mine included, was like, why do you keep taking his helmet off? And then I remember you said, and I saw some screenshots, and obviously there's the trailers of him just not having the armor on at all. I actually prefer that's actually much better. It's like, okay, rather than just leaving, just take the whole thing off then, fine, rather than just annoyingly leave your helmet on. So that they did that. But I actually think that worked. Okay, you still shouldn't really be doing that, but I'd prefer you have the whole suit off rather than just, and it's like a big battle sequence as well where sort of like none of them were wearing armor. So
but I mean, there is a story reason for that, and that's sort of what I love, is the fact that they've just gone, well, you know, the people that complained about him taking the helmet off, we've sort of lost them anyway, so let's just go for it. And they just take his suit away for like three episodes.
Yeah, so here's what I ended up doing. So I got halfway through episode 2, and you know when you're really trying to get into something and concentrate, but it just comes across as noise. So what I decided to do was, okay, I really love the action in the show, but I'm not enjoying anything else, so I just watched the action scenes for the rest of the season, which amounted to me skipping, I think, 2 episodes.
Right.
So even though you've just said about like, oh, there was, because I did watch that action scene, I didn't know what, if there was, I didn't really care for what the reason was. But my thing is, okay, it doesn't have to just be an action show because there is lore there and there is a lot of actual things going on.
Yeah.
There is an interesting war in this season. If you just take a look, if you go to season 2, episode 1 and watch the first, specifically the first 15 minutes, that is a perfect representation of what this show should be more of. Mm-hmm. Not only is the action, because I think the action really is absolutely phenomenal. And obviously, I prefer the way they do it. I'm glad they didn't do it like actually in first person.
Yeah.
Because you can to see more movement, you can just see, it just looks more cool, I think, when you do it not in first person. And like, you've got all the swords, you've got the is it the Coalition? I can't remember the name of the enemies right now. The Covenant, rather.
Covenant, yeah.
Yeah, they're really cool. Their design, like the design and the costume design and the weapons and everything, is really, really cool. And like, Master Chief is actually this super soldier. He's really good at fighting. There's some bits where he's running around and stuff. There's a bit where he uses like a grapple. He slings up to this hill. I'm like, all right, this is much better. And then everyone started talking. And so, yeah. The specific scene I got up to, there was, I can't remember her name, but the woman who looked after him when she was a child, the blonde woman, she's talking to this young child who keeps dying for some reason over and over again, and I was like, okay, I'm not really taking in anything and I'm just gonna watch the action scenes, and I really did enjoy the action scenes, but it meant that I could finish it about a day or so later, so that was pretty much that. But even if you look at those first 15 minutes, just to go back to that, there's so many great little shots, and there's glares off where he's looking through his helmet and stuff. And like, there's different like blood shots and stuff like that, like different camera angles and things. And there's like this fight that's in this like darkened area. It's really, I was like, wow, this is really quite incredible. And even though I really enjoyed the action before, that was like probably some of the best bits they've ever done. So yeah, it's not often I've really done that with a show, which is like, hey, I'm just going to actually skip this bit because because I could almost look at them as two different entities, the actual dialogue and story and character development in the show and the actual action. They're almost like on polar opposite bits of quality. I don't know. So what did you think of the second season?
See, I really enjoyed the second season. As I said before, I'm not massively into Halo. I've played some of them. I don't follow the lore all that much. So the messing about with the lore and that sort of stuff for the TV show doesn't bother me because I don't know enough about the game lore for it to bother me. But I really like the storyline. I mean, the action sequences are great, but I do think the storyline's quite good as well. I really like it as a sci-fi show on its own, which happens to be based on a game property. If you know nothing about the Halo universe, I think they've crafted a really nice, interesting universe for it. And it works for me. You know, I'm enjoying it. I think the storyline's interesting and different, and I'm having a lot of fun with that show. I would say it's worth watching, and not just the action sequences, which are great. But yeah, I mean, I would watch the story as well. Second season introduces the Flood as well, which is cool.
To me, that's how you do the action in that show. That's like perfectly done. Yeah. So really enjoyed that. And then one last thing I want to mention is going back to Pixar. They re-released three films that silly old Bob Chapek, when he took over, made a few, well, not just a few, a lot of changes that really didn't work for Disney's favor.
Yes.
A lot of different changes. One of those that he stupidly decided to do was, hey, we're kind of in a pandemic, which, okay, understandable, you put certain films on streaming. You do not do Pixar films only on streaming. That is a very, very stupid thing to do. And the three of them that suffered from that were Turning Red, Soul, and Luca. They returned to the big screen when Lightyear came out. That was 2022, I want to say.
Right, yeah.
I think so. So Pixar's back on the big screen, all good. So they decided to re-release the three films, and I thought, right, I've got to catch these. Even though I've seen them before, I want to support Pixar on the big screen because I really love Pixar. So yeah, they've all now come and gone within a couple of months of each other. They did, I think it was Turning Red first. Yeah, in the order I've written them here, Turning Red, Soul, and Luca. I think Soul is maybe the weakest of the three, even though I do really like it. It's very different to Turning Red and Luca. And surprisingly, I think Luca and Turning Red do have certain theme similarities as well. There's definitely elements in both of them of sort of, there's a true version of me. I can't reveal that to the world because it will get me in trouble. There's a lot of going on in both those films. You've got obviously the young girl in Turning Red who turns into a panda when she shows, I think it's like just strong emotions in one way or another. And then Luca, of course, is a fish. And then he can come to the surface and turn into a human boy. But whenever he gets wet, it doesn't have to be swimming in the water. It's just whenever water hits him or whatever.
Right, yeah.
Those wet parts of his body turn into a fish. And the specific land where he actually lives nearest to, or where he ends up, is where they kill sea monsters. So of course, not the most ideal, most ideal place. It's like a whole fish market and like and everything. So yeah, really, really enjoyed all three of them. I don't know between Turning Red and Luca which one I like most. I really, really do like them quite a lot each. So enjoyed those two quite a lot. Have you seen the three of those films?
Luca, I haven't. Soul, I have seen. I really enjoyed Soul, and Turning Red, I thought was great as well. I like the way Pixar do those sort of movies of, you know, there has a message to them. There is a Turning Red about sort of the almost teen angst and sort of being able to control your rage and anger and that sort of stuff.
Definitely.
You know, there's a really interesting message explaining emotions. It's a bit like Inside Out, you know, in that respect.
Emotions part.
Yeah. So I really like Turning Red, and I really like Soul as well. I thought that was a really solid film. I mean, yeah, it's one of those things that even you say you think it's the weakest of the three, but even a weak Pixar movie can be better than, you know, a lot of other films.
So I've seen every single, took me a while to get to Cars. I can't remember why. I did watch those, I think, last year at some point. Granted, some of the Pixar films are on different levels to each other. I mean, there's a lot of them, so that's going to happen.
Yeah.
I don't think they have a single bad film. They have films that are sort of, okay, this is, you know, good and that sort of stuff. Cars 2 is one that gets pointed out for that. That's sort of, okay, there's some wonky but funny sort of quirky ideas here, but it's not a bad film. You know, things like Good Dinosaur and Brave, those are sort of on a bit of a lower scale, but those are still good. But it's just, it's very interesting to see the reception of Pixar, particularly in the last couple of years. And of course, there's another film to come out this year from Pixar, which is Inside Out 2. That's obviously a new release.
Yes.
That looks really, really good, really exciting. Hopefully gets people's enthusiasm, hope, interest, I don't know which word to use, back into Pixar, because they're doing some great stuff other than Disney, who just keeps making live action remakes. So,
yes, that is true.
Yes. on the Disney Pixar front, Pixar have really been holding down the sort of originals for like years. So anyway, but what have you been up to, David?
Well, I mean, the big thing this week for me has been Fallout, which has landed on Prime Video. They dropped all 8 episodes at once, which is quite surprising for Prime, because a big show like that, you'd expect them to drop it out weekly. I mean, not that there's an issue with them dropping it out all at once, but that's what they did. So all 8 episodes are now up on Prime Video, obviously based on the video game. It's brilliant. Really, really solid from start to finish. Very much has the spirit of the game, but expands the world and has a new story. It's in an area that we've not really visited very much. It's set around LA. The setup for it is, obviously, you're following a vault dweller. It's been 200 years since the apocalypse. You're following Lucy, played by Ella Purnell, and she has to leave the vault for reasons. Obviously, something goes wrong in the vault. I mean, that's always the setup for the start of a video game. She heads out into the wasteland and is shocked to discover that, you know, there are people up there and it's forms of societies and that sort of things up there. While she's up there, she bumps into Aaron Motton, who plays Maximus, who is a member of the Brotherhood of Steel. And then you've got Walton Goggins, who plays the ghoul in this, who is a sort of very morally ambiguous bounty hunter and obviously a ghoul character. It's brilliantly acted. It's really well put together. There's a lot of flashback stuff in there. So you see Walt going in life prior to the bombs dropping. And that sort of adds an interesting texture to the sort of world. I think it's probably still fairly accessible to people that don't know the video games particularly well. Have you ever played any of the Fallout games?
I played 4 and that was it.
Right, okay. It's done the video game side of things some good as well, because notice that there is a huge spike in numbers for Fallout 76, which is the sort of live service game that they have, sort of multiplayer, although I think you can play through it sort of single player at this point as well. That had a very, very rocky start, but it's managed to sort of pull itself back quite a lot. I haven't jumped into it for a while. I may go in and create a new character and try that again at some point. But the other thing is they've announced that there is a free next-gen update coming for Fallout 4. So if you've got a copy of Fallout 4 kicking around, it might be worth reinstalling it, because there is going to be a big graphics update for consoles and PC, and they're polishing it all, and it's going to have a bunch of the DLC and extras and bits and pieces and all that sort of stuff. So it'll be a really full, complete version of the game. I think there's a new quest line in there as well. So that might draw some people back into Fallout 4 as well, which I think is really interesting, and I may have to go and put that back on and replay through it. But the TV show itself, well worth going to check out. We don't know whether it's got a second season yet, although I think, as we mentioned last week, it was filmed around New York, even though it's set in LA and various other places as well. But they've been given, assuming it does get a second season, a $25 million tax credit to move the filming to LA itself. Should they move forward with the second season, it's one of the largest tax credits for a TV show ever given. So there's quite a lot of incentive for them to do that. It seems to be going down incredibly well. The reviews have been really good of it. So I hope that means that they will bring it back. There is certainly more story they can tell there. Really, really good. Have you caught any of that yet?
I did watch the first episode yesterday. I put it on after Liverpool lost, which is good. I did like it a lot. I did think the first episode was a little bit slow, but then it is quite a long episode as well. It was a good like introduction to everything. The sort of event at the start was quite well done. And again, as I've been saying for most of these things, especially with live action adaptions of these games, it does bring the game to life really, really well. Like you literally take, okay, we have this animated / CG game. How do we use green screen / real locations and make it look like we're just in a normal looking place? And then you put real people in front of the camera, you dress them up / costume them in the outfits from these games, and then you put a story in there and you put your bits and bobs in there. Same thing on Last of Us. You get the real looking locations of all these different places, and then you put two real people in front of the camera, and then you dress them up as those people, and then you go from there. It's very, very well done on that front as well. Obviously, in terms of the Fallout games and the lore and that kind of stuff, I'm nowhere near where other people are, but even little things like the Pip-Boy and all the costumes and stuff was really cool to see. Obviously, you got the suit armor and stuff, the power armor as well. That looked quite good. So they've done a great job with doing that again as well. Some of the characters were quite interesting. There's some good stuff that happened. Walter Goggins, I thought, was really cool, both in the before bit and the after bit as well. So see what that character's up to. Mm-hmm. It was funny as well, because I think we found out about him first.
Yes.
I remember talking on Gaming Talk about that. And I remember Robert said, oh, he's going to be playing a ghoul. And I thought, okay, most people will just say, oh, that's just Walton Goggins' character and no name. I thought, oh, eventually he'll get a name, surely. No, it's just the ghoul.
Yeah.
I just thought it was quite good. I remember seeing him last time in Sons of Anarchy, I think it was. Probably something else since then, but that's what stands out most recently. So, yeah, good stuff. From Bethesda, which now owned by Microsoft. So, yeah, I enjoyed it.
They've been doing a pretty decent job across the board for video game to TV adaptations, because we've had this, we've had Twisted Metal, obviously Last of Us. I know there are mixed reactions to Halo, but and it messes around a lot
Like, when you suit the characters up and put them in the locations that look like Halo locations, it's brilliant.
Yeah.
And when you do, like, okay, Master Chief being Master Chief and the Covenant there, and you got the swords and stuff, it looks like Halo. So in terms of doing the literal visual flip, the adaption there, a lot of them have been really perfect. And even on the other front, where you've had animated stuff like Sonic was been really good, Mario was really good.
Yeah.
You've got other ones as well, like, okay, Five Nights at Freddy's with the tension was great. That had some like really unnecessary stuff in it, but in terms of the tension and the sort of Five Nights at Freddy's characters, what would they look like in live action, and what would the shop look like and stuff, they did a brilliant job there as well. Mm-hmm. I would say, because I was saying this on my Twisted Metal review, which, by the way, I really love Twisted Metal, that was a very big unexpected surprise given what very little they have to work from that game. It's just a destruction derby, and the game is like an hour long. Mm-hmm. So it's incredible what they come up with there. We're in probably, I don't know if we have had before, a golden adaption video game era, or maybe this might be the only time that's been like a golden era. But we're certainly in that now. There's still some stuff that misses. You've got like Uncharted, which was okay but boring, weirdly, even though what it's supposed to be. So there's been a couple of misses, but we really are in a golden era of that. So I feel like it's sort of The Last of Us. Obviously Sonic came out before that. Sonic was like, oh, you can do these well, but that's the fun family friendly side of stuff. Mm-hmm. And then Last of Us come out, and then it was like everybody woke up and was like, oh, you can do the serious versions. You can actually do that.
Yeah, and I think they're learning not to take something which is a large, story-driven, expansive game and try and stuff it into a movie as well. I think Last of Us sort of showed that this is the format you need to do it in. You need to do it with those big story-driven games. You need to put them into TV shows, not movies. So yeah, great job with Fallout. That's all on Prime Video if you want to go and check that one out. Just a little update on Late Night Lysit, which we talked about last week. He did reveal what fake news stories he'd been shoving out into the media. The only one which, I mean, there was a couple of smaller ones. The one which caught a lot of headlines was the statue from H from Steps, which was supposedly going up in his hometown. That was Joe, that story. So if you saw that story in the news, it wasn't true. It was a fake news story set up by Joe. Amazingly, things like Alan Titchmarsh's genes getting blurred out by North Korean TV, that wasn't Joe, and neither was the bubble off a cap that somebody thought was a hedgehog story, which was everywhere. That wasn't Joe either, which everybody assumed those were the other two, but apparently not. They weren't him. The only one was the H from Steps statue, which was one that he'd seeded. That was kind of interesting. The show itself, I mean, fun, silly anarchy. He had Danny Dyer on this week, which was always quite funny. That was kind of great fun. In terms of films, I finally got around to watching Oppenheimer, because it is now out on Sky Cinema. Given the movie is over 3 hours long, this might seem like a strange comment, but it's too short. I mean, it's brilliant.
That's not what I thought you were going to say.
It's really brilliant. The acting is incredible. Chris Nolan's direction is superb. Casting's great. I mean, Cillian Murphy is brilliant. Emily Blunt's great. Matt Damon's great. Robert Downey Jr. is great. There's lots of other faces that pop up that you go, oh, it's him. There's a lot of people like that. Like Ken Branagh has a small role in it as well. You know, there's all sorts of people that pop up. So great cast, but there are bits that it sort of jumps through his life really quite quickly, particularly the earlier parts. And whilst what is there is beautifully done and interesting, you sort of want to know more about it. And I would love to have seen this as a miniseries, because I think there is a 6-episode miniseries you could have made from this film. Not that there is anything wrong with the film itself.
You mean like a Chernobyl type series thing? Yeah,
exactly. You could have made one of the best TV shows ever made as a miniseries version of this. There isn't anything wrong with the film, and it deserves all the awards that it gets. The direction is phenomenal, and there are some really interesting choices he makes in how he ties things together. It's beautifully, beautifully shot, and the storyline is great, obviously, you know, following the life of Oppenheimer, the man that created the atomic bomb. But it skips through quite a lot of that sort of early build-up to that to get to the sort of building of the bomb part and what happens after that and what happens to Oppenheimer after he's built the bomb. But I do think that there is a miniseries in there that would have been even better, you know. And I mean, I know Chris Nolan doesn't make miniseries. He makes films. His brother makes TV series because he did Fallout. But yeah, it is a great film and deserves every award it gets. But I kind of would have liked to have seen a miniseries of it with exactly the same cast and same director and everything. Just more, you know?
Interesting. Maybe someone like, if you do get like a Craig Mazin on board, once he's got Last of Us season 2 out or something. I guess you could still do that at some point, I suppose. If Christopher Nolan wouldn't do a TV adaptation, you can always get someone similar, which would be Craig Mazin in this area, I suppose. It sounds like you kind of would have, not preferred necessarily, but you think it would have been good to do like a Chernobyl HBO series type thing for it. So I myself haven't seen the film yet. I kept meaning to get to it. I should have done something creative and crafty in the summer, did like a Barbenheimer review or something and watched like both of them. But I didn't see Barbie till months later, and I still haven't seen Oppenheimer. So I kind of missed that boat, the Barbenheimer boat.
But it is now up on Sky Cinema if you want to go and catch it. And it is a phenomenal film. I mean, nothing
against the film. You can also buy it on Apple as well, I think.
Yeah, I mean, you can buy it everywhere as well. It's been out to buy for a while. But nothing against the film. It deserves every award it's been given, and you know, the cast is great. It is a brilliant, brilliant movie. But equally, I think there is a brilliant TV series that you can make from that as well, because his life is so interesting. So finally got around to watching that. On the gaming front, I've been diving back into No Man's Sky, the game that has the best redemption arc of any video game ever, I think, given that where it started in 2016 to where it is now. It's funny, I've been seeing posts about fans of the game actually asking for paid DLC, because there is so much free DLC, like all the updates that they've given have been free, and they're getting to the point of like, how are they surviving? I'd like to be able to actually give them more money to make sure this game keeps going, which is a weird thing. But Hello Games have done such a phenomenal job with that. It's been a couple of years since I jumped into No Man's Sky, so I thought, well, I'll go back and have a look. And they've added so much. I mean, you can now have a sort of, there's an exo suit thing that you can now get, which actually has you can put an AI into. So you basically have a robot companion that follows you around, which is really quite cool. They've expanded a lot more stuff to do with the aliens. They did the latest update has changed the space stations quite a lot. You can now break down ships and build ships yourself, which you couldn't do before. They've expanded the base building a lot. I mean, there's so much stuff in that game. It is really quite phenomenal. And the base game is fairly cheap. Well, I say base game, I mean, the game is fairly cheap because there isn't any DLC. It's just all free updates. There is no DLC to buy. It's a phenomenal space adventure game. If you like base building, if you like exploring new planets, you can kind of go and find planets and things and place your name on them and that sort of stuff. It's just wonderful fun. So I've been playing around with that. Have you ever had a go at that?
No, I've not like delved into it before. I've heard loads of good updates. So I think there, I can't remember if this is true. I think there's maybe a VR portion for PlayStation.
Yeah. If you can actually play it on PlayStation VR as well. I mean, you can play it on VR on
PC.
PC yeah. as well, but there is PlayStation VR version as well. So it is brilliant and well worth getting if you've not got it already. Oh, it is actually up to, blimey, it is $49.99 on PC at the moment. I thought it was less than that, but you can get deals on it if you mm-hmm. look around.
Yeah.
So yeah. It's well worth the money. You will spend hours and hours playing around in that game. And there's multiplayer as well. So if you want to play with friends, you can do that. Mm. Really, really good fun. That's the stuff we've been doing this week. Let's move on to some TV and film news.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-? So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
So we kick off the TV and film news with renewals, cancellations and pickups, and few cancellations this week, quite a lot of renewals. We are heading into the pre-bloodbath period. We'll get into that in a minute. One of the cancellations is Meet the Richardsons, which is the series on Dave. It's going to be ending with the current fifth series. Really quite tragic reason for that ending. It's because John Richardson and Lucy Beaumont, who are the couple that the show follows, are separating. So obviously there's no more TV show after that. They posted a thing up, and my heart goes out to the pair of them. I think they've got kids as well, and I mean that's difficult at any time, but you know, you've had your entire life under a microscope on that show and then you're separating, and I think it was sort of heightened versions of them, but that's a real shame, but entirely understandable why that's coming to an end. The other announcement was from Paramount Plus, and it's an odd one. Star Trek Lower Decks, which has got a fifth season coming up, will be its last. And out of all the Star Trek shows to cancel, you would have thought the animated ones would be the ones that you keep around because they're cheaper to make, you would think. But no, I mean, they booted Prodigy off the network and gave it to Netflix, or sold it to Netflix. And they've now said Lower Decks is ending with season 5. So yeah. That's
and Discovery's also got like its last chunk of episodes.
Well, yeah, I mean, Discovery is coming to an end, but that's sort of understandable. You're 5 seasons in, it's a big live action show. Mm. I mean, the live shows, I do sort of understand maybe ending one of those, but the animated shows, when that's a much cheaper thing to produce, and particularly when there is a lot of love out there for Lower Decks, it's an odd one. But yes, they've said season 5 is its last. Whether they can resurrect it and sell it to somebody else, maybe, I don't know. We'll have to see whether they change their mind on that and somebody can step in and take it if they're prepared to sell it to Netflix or whoever, or I think it runs on Prime or ran on Prime over here, so I mean Prime would be an obvious one to pick it up. At the moment though, they've just said it's ending with season 5. The creator of it has sort of said, they sort of agreed to bring it to an end, but I mean, the announcement came way after they'd finished making it, and it seems a bit suspicious that this was actually planned, and I'm not convinced that was the case. It's a shame, because I mean, those characters could go on forever, even if it's not Lower Decks, even if the characters come back on a Upper Decks show or something, you know, I mean, because obviously they're going to go up in rank, they're not going to be Lower Decks characters forever. So maybe there is something you could do in terms of an animated series with some of those characters moving forward. But it's a real shame that's gone, because it's such a fun series, that. On the plus side, though, over on the renewals, Strange New Worlds has been renewed for season 4 before season 3 has even aired. So that is definitely sticking around. They will be bringing that one back. Season 3 isn't due out until 2025, though. So
gives me time to catch up with season 2, then.
Yeah, so you've got a while to catch up with season 2. But yes, they have said that's back.
I think I'll start that after I watch, after this Discovery series. season goes, because I don't think I want to watch two live action Star Trek shows at the same time. I think I tried to do that when, what was it? I think they had the box sets of Discovery and the other one, and Strange New Worlds, when like Paramount Plus launched. I think I remember I tried to watch them at the same time, and that like didn't work. So I'll catch up with it once Discovery's finished up.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea. You've got a while, like I say, because season three isn't going to be until 2025. That is good news, at least. You know, that one's staying around, and I love that show. It's
that's
great.
Clearly the main long-term show now.
Yeah, Discovery was great, and I'm waiting for the first four episodes to go out, which I think the fourth one goes out this week or next week, because I'd seen the first four because I had some previews because they interviewed Sinequa and Martin Green. I'm just waiting for the episodes to go out so I can actually start watching again. Over on CBS, they've renewed FBI Most Wanted, FBI International, and the main FBI. Most Wanted Season 6, FBI International Season 4. The main FBI has a three-season renewal, which takes it up to Season 9. So they're going to keep that around, at least the main show is going to be around for a while. But the other two, I don't know why they've only given one season renewals rather than giving everything three season renewals, but that's the case. Also on CBS, they've renewed NCIS for a 22nd season and a 7th season to the comedy The Neighborhood, so those are both coming back. The big surprise at CBS was they uncancelled SWAT again. Which I don't think anybody saw coming. I mean, there is an interview that Daryl did over on Hollywood North News with Shamar Moore, who is the lead on it, who was very much talking about, you know, he opened with how does it feel going into the final season. Shamar was very adamant that, you know, he was still fighting for the show and he didn't want it to end. And he's now got his wish. CBS have changed their mind and given it an 8th season. And it sounds like it's going to be a full season as well. It sounds like, because this season was 10 episodes, I think, and they looks like they're going back up to a 22 episode season. I mean, the show ratings wise is fine. It's never been an issue of the ratings. It's a co-production with Sony though, and that causes financial issues, particularly when you're 8 seasons in. And also the wage bill is quite high because of the fact that there is an ensemble cast for that. What they did for season 7 was they reduced a couple of the cast members down to recurring roles. We're sort of 2 or 3 episodes in over here at the moment, and 2 of the regulars haven't shown up yet. They've been away doing training courses in other places. So they've used that as an excuse not to have them there. So whether we'll get more team changes moving forward, because that essentially is a way of keeping the wage bill down, because you don't have to pay the actors as much for coming back. You can bring new faces in, which is cheaper. The only people you really need to keep around is Shamar Moore and a couple of the other main leads. It's the same with the NCIS's and, you know, the FBI's and that sort of thing. You end up changing some of the characters as you go through as people move on, and also it makes it cheaper for them to produce. So nice. Great news, because I know there's a lot of love for SWAT out there. It's a fun procedural, that, and back for an 8th season, which was very, very surprising.
Maybe CBS can give Man United some tips on keeping the wage bill down, because goodness me.
Yes,
you get someone to extend their contract for 2 years, they're on $350,000 and then they're injured for about a year.
Oh, great, lovely. Over on Apple, they've renewed Monarch Legacy of Monsters for season 2, which is the legendary Monsterverse series with Kurt Russell and Wyatt Russell. That has been back for a 2nd season. I haven't actually watched any of that because I've never been hugely into the sort of Godzilla monstery thing, but that has been back for a 2nd season. It seemed to go down very, very well the first season. They're also getting spin-offs. They've not said what the spin-offs of that will be, but they will be more legendary MonsterVerse stuff, which makes sense because, I mean, there's a whole bunch of things they could play around with in there. So whether we'll get some spin-off first and then the 2nd season, or whether we'll get the 2nd season and then more spin-offs, I don't know. And how they're planning on doing it. And they've not given any details. So just that they will be more shows in the Legendary MonsterVerse. So that's sort of a franchise that Apple now has, is the Legendary MonsterVerse, which is good.
Yeah, this whole Godzilla King Kong thing is really, really taking a big splash right now.
Yeah.
Like the films are doing really well. I know there's some like spin-off-ish sort of films. I think it's called Minus One or something, Godzilla.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Call of Duty keeps getting their hands in the pile as well with useless $80 gloves and stuff. We talked, well not joked because it is a real thing. We talked about that on Gaming Talk. Yeah, on Call of Duty you can get this glove thing, which it doesn't give you anything, but you can spend £80 and get that for whatever reason. I think it's supposed to be like a Godzilla hand or something. But on the more serious side, the more useful side, people seem to be really loving these shows and these films. From what I understand, they're not like all connected, but you got like the main films series, which I've not seen any of. I keep really meaning to because they sound really good. But I'm going to try and watch this first season of Legacy of Monsters before the second one comes out, because I kind of thought, oh, if that's a bit of a thing on its own, I might watch it. But if they're going to do like spin-offs and stuff and try and make a thing out of it, I might try to put more effort into watching that, because it sounds like, again, I don't know how much of this is dumb fun monsters, big monsters and stuff, or how much like character is in there.
Yeah.
But people seem to really, really be loving these things right now. So
yeah,
that's good.
I'm in the same boat. I need to actually kind of go and sit down and watch the movies and then watch the TV show, you know, go through all of that. I will do that at some point. The other quite surprising renewal, although, I mean, it's been rumoured for a long, long, long time, basically since the first season came out in 2016, The Night Manager has been renewed for two more seasons by the BBC and Prime Video, who air it internationally, with Tom Hiddleston returning to star, and David Farr, who wrote the original show, is back as the writer for it as well. This was about Tom Hiddleston, who plays Next Forces turned hotel manager Jonathan Pine. He's recruited by Angela Burr, played by Olivia Colman, to infiltrate the inner circle of an arms dealer, played by Hugh Laurie. It swept the board at various awards, got a Best Actor BAFTA nomination and a Golden Globe and Emmy nomination, I think, for Tom Hiddleston. It was watched by more than 10 million viewers. It was the most watched TV show in 2016, or one of them anyway. It was a huge, huge thing. And ever since it first came out, there's been rumours of, are they going to do more? The problem has always been that John le Carré, that wrote the book, didn't write any follow-ups. So anything that they had to do for more seasons would have to be something completely original. And it's taken David Farr really until now to come up with some ideas for where they could take things moving forward. So we know Tom Hiddleston's going to be back. Don't know if Hugh Laurie will return, although he is listed as an exec producer on the series. I mean, that could just be because he was involved in the first series. It may be that he turns back up again. They've brought in BAFTA winner Georgie Banks Davis, who did I Hate Susie and Paper Girls. They're going to direct all six episodes of season two. Other than that, we don't know exactly what the plot line or anything of that is going to be. But I mean, the first show was outstanding. So I'm very happy they're bringing that back. It's just been a very, very, very long time. It's going to film later this year, so it's probably going to be 2025 at least before we see it. But yeah, that's great news, because Tom Hiddleston's wonderful. And, you know, now he's not Loki-ing as much, then he's freed up to be able to come back and do this. That's all the renewals. As we mentioned, we are coming up to TV Bloodbath fairly soon. 10th of May is the final sort of potential Bloodbath day. This is when all the cancellations and renewals come in before upfronts, which is when the big US networks do presentations to the advertisers to show off what their new schedules are going to be. The upfronts start Monday the 13th of May. So I thought it would be a good idea just to do a bit of a sort of pregame of where we are with the US networks right now. NBC has renewed The Chicago's Found, The Irrational, Law and Order, Law and Order SVU. They have cancelled or got ending Blue Bloods, Bob Hart's Ashola, and Young Sheldon. So that leaves them with Law and Order Organized Crime, which is the lowest rated of the Law and Orders on the network. There is a possibility they may even move it from NBC to Peacock. We make no difference to the UK audience. It would still air on Sky, but there is the possibility that they might move it, because apparently it does better on Peacock than it does on NBC. Night Court, which they haven't given renewal to yet, but it is one of the most watched and highest rated comedies on TV. So I think that is likely to come back, or certainly on the network. The two that are in shaky ground, Lopez versus Lopez, which is the George Lopez and his daughter Maya Lopez. That's a comedy. Second season ratings aren't great. It was very shaky on its first season, so that could be for the chop. There's one called Extended Family as well, which has got John Cryer, Donald Faison, and Abigail Spencer in it. That's kind of on shaky ground. It's a Lionsgate co-production, which means that financially it's not worth as much to anyone NBC. Ratings aren't great. The only saving grace is it's in its first season, and NBC does tend to be a bit more lenient with shows, particularly comedies that are in our first season, which is why Lopez versus Lopez got a second season last year. It may scrape through and get a second season. It's very difficult to tell right now, but those are the two. I don't think either of those have aired over here, but those are the two which are in trouble, potentially. Over on ABC, they've renewed 911, Abbott Elementary, Grey's Anatomy, and Will Trent. They've got cancelled or ending Station 19 and The Good Doctor. Three that they haven't renewed yet are Not Dead Yet, The Connors, and The Rookie. All of those are likely to get renewals. Connors, I think, might be heading towards a wrap-up season, but it's still not likely to get canned. It's more likely to come to a wrap-up season, if that is the case. But the other two, I think, are fairly strong for getting renewals. CBS have renewed Fire Country, Ghosts, FBI Most Wanted, FBI International, as we mentioned earlier, the main FBI, NCIS, NCIS Sydney, Tracker, and The Neighbourhood. What they've got left are So Help Me Todd, CSI Vegas, The Equalizer, NCIS Hawaii, and Elspeth, which is the Good Wife, Good Fight spin-off series. Ratings aren't great for Elspeth at the moment, but given its connection to Good Wife, The Good Fight, that may survive. NCIS Hawaii, kind of 50-50, because they renewed the other NCISs and not that one, so it's hard to say which way that's going to go. So Help Me Todd, CSI Vegas, and The Equalizer, I think, are probably likely to get renewed. They just haven't had renewals yet. Over on Fox, they've renewed most of their animated slate. So Animal Control, Bob's Burgers, Family Guy, Grimsburg, Krapopolis, and of course The Simpsons. They're all back. They've got no cancellations so far this year, but left, they've got Alert Missing Persons Unit, which is likely to get a renewal. Cleaning Lady, likely to get a renewal. Great North, which is another animated show, that's sort of 50-50, given that they've renewed all the other animated shows and not that one. They have two other shows, which is 911 Lone Star, because of course that's still on Fox and didn't move to ABC with the main show. That doesn't air until the autumn, and Accused doesn't air until the autumn, so we're not likely to get renewals for those until later in the year. And then there's the CW, which, just on a side note, aren't producing any new US scripted shows. So it's only a case of stuff that was already on when the new owners took over. So they haven't renewed anything yet. They've got Superman and Lois coming to an end with season four. We've got season three finally coming to the BBC fairly soon, but season four is going to be the last season. So we have got one more season after the one that's going out this year on the BBC. They've got All American Homecoming, and Walker all still left. Don't know which way any of those will go. Chances are Walker will probably get a renewal. I don't know about All American and All American Homecoming, so we'll just have to wait and see with those. It's weird, because since the new owners took over the CW, it's very hard to gauge which way they will jump with that. So
yeah, because it's a different type of channel now, isn't it? I remember you saying, like, there's some reality stuff, there's like golf, which a bit different to The Flash, but those days of the old, you know, five DC shows on in a week, and then Supernatural and The 100, all of that's pretty much finished now, isn't it?
Yeah.
So as much as I think people do like Superman and Lois, it kind of makes sense a little bit, just to, okay, even though you do have James Gunn's Superman coming up, obviously you can still have two of them anyway, but it just feels like, okay, for the CW DC side, just like finish off all of it and just kind of have, DC's trying to have a bit of a fresh start, apart from Harley Quinn, obviously it's a bit of a different thing. So
apart from some of the Elseworlds stuff, that is the case. So
like Batman and Penguin and that. So Joker.
I think having a random Superman show sat around on the CW doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. You know, and I mean, it was one of the better ones, but as we've said previously, season four, season five tends to be when those Berlanti shows fall to bits anyway. So it's probably not a bad thing that they're ending at season four, you know, for the quality of it anyway. But Tyler's been great as Superman. He's been really, really good.
Yeah.
So
Yeah, you know, very good.
Mean, nothing against the show. It's been very enjoyable, but I think it's probably the right thing to do.
In terms of most of these other ones, a lot of them are procedurals I don't particularly watch, apart from 911 and Lone Star, which I'm looking forward to having come back. If I remember rightly, I think we had like both of them at once, and we were getting like loads of 911 because we had both shows like coming in and out, and then both of those seasons finished, and now we have to wait ages for them to come back. So I guess it's just how they ended up getting scheduled. Obviously, yeah. The strike played a part as well and stuff.
Yeah,
so.
I mean, the strikes really affected them more than anything else, yeah. Which is why Lone Star got booted to autumn season, basically. Mm. Yeah.
Did you check out that Cleaning Lady? I remember it came out on Sky, didn't it?
It's out on Sky. I'm quite enjoying that. It's quite good. There are, I think, 3 seasons of it so far. So I think that will probably get picked up again. It's fairly solid. They've had to deal with the passing of one of the lead actors in it, unfortunately. He died from cancer. They seem to have handled that and still moving forward. So, yeah, it's a solid show, though. Enjoyable, kind of interesting, different idea. So, yeah, we're sort of working through season 1 on Sky right now. But yeah, there is a lot more of that to come, which I think is one of the reasons they picked it up to fill some holes in their schedule, because they knew that they had at least 3 seasons that they could run of it.
Nice.
In terms of pickups and other advanced air dates, getting ready for a new game of How Long Will Sean Bean Survive, as Disney Plus has set a May premiere date for the Tudor murder mystery drama Shard Lake, which is coming the 1st of May on Disney Plus. They're based on a novel series by CJ Samson. Arthur Hughes plays the title role of Shardlake, with Sean Bean playing Thomas Cromwell. This looks like it could be kind of interesting, and the idea of a sort of Tudor murder mystery thing, I think, is quite an intriguing one. It's also got Paul Kaye in it as well, who you'll know from various things. Yeah, 1st of May, that is going to land on Disney Plus, so that's one to look out for. Clarkson's Farm Season 3 has a premiere date as well, coming Friday the 3rd of May onto Prime Video, which is great news, so that will be back.
Is that the last one, or am I thinking of something else?
No, the other show, Grand Tour, has ended. Although, as we mentioned last week, they are working on a new version of that. Whether that comes to fruition or not, we don't know, but that will be without the original guys.
I remember you and Gray talking about presenters and things like that. So, yeah.
No, Clarkson's Farm actually has a full season already, so this will be season 3, because it is a year in the life on the farm. If you're not into farming, still, it is well worth watching that show. It is really fun. And I mean, it does depend on whether you can stand Jeremy Clarkson or not, and I entirely understand if you can't. But it is fun, enjoyable, and it is quite interesting in terms of the farming side of things, which is something I never thought I'd be interested in, but he makes it very accessible. And the stuff that they have to go through to produce food is just really quite intriguing, as well as all the stupid zaniness that goes on around it. But yeah, season 3 is landing on the 3rd of May, so that will be coming to Prime Video. On BBC, we have season 3 of The Outlaws coming in May. We don't know an exact date for that yet, but that's Steve Merchant's show. That will be back for a 3rd season.
Oh, is that the one with, I think I know which one, yeah, keep meaning to watch. I think that's the same one you're talking about, one with the community workers.
Yeah, the people that are doing community sentences, basically, and they're all kind of shoved together.
See, I don't click on BBC One much, so I just forgot that it was there.
I don't think I've actually watched all of the second season, thinking about it, but season 1 I really, really enjoyed. But that's back for a 3rd season. That's coming in May. We don't have an exact date for that yet. And there was another little bit of news. Heroes, the Tim Krieg series, he's looking to reboot it again. So this will be the second reboot of it. Basically, pretty much sounds like it's doing what he did with the previous reboot.
I'd call that more of a revival, but I get why people kind of call it a reboot. It did have canon from the previous, from season 4.
This would be another revival set in the same world. The show that he's pitching at the moment is called Heroes Eclipsed. It will be set years after the events of the original series, with a new group of Evos discovering they have powers that will change their lives. He does say that it will feature familiar villains and new enemies who will attempt to suppress the this next step in human evolution again, it will be up to this new group of heroes to save the world. So it will probably have some faces from the original show.
Just trying to remember who's alive.
Well, yeah, exactly. I mean, there's no guarantee this will happen. He is apparently pitching it to people right now. NBC, obviously, because they were the people that took the original. He's also talking to some streaming services, possibly, about it. There was the spin-off, which, or the continuation thing, which was Heroes Reborn, which didn't land particularly well. I mean, I don't know. We'll see whether anything comes of it, but he is pitching it at the moment.
I don't know if apologist is the word to use. I really love Heroes. I understand the criticism it had for various different things. I really liked Reborn. I was really excited when it came back, which was, I think, in 2015 or something. Goodness me, a long time ago. Time is going by too fast. Yes. But I saw this news and I was like, oh, that's great. Some of you might be thinking, like, why on earth are you excited for Heroes again? I really want more shows about people with powers that aren't Marvel or DC, and this does fill that quite well. Also, I did really enjoy the characters from before. Yeah, the story had some bits and pieces that didn't work, but I'm ready to go again with another one. That's just me. So.
Well, we'll see whether anybody bites on this. I mean, as I say, it's his one idea, and he's trying to pitch it again, so we'll see whether it
does. I appreciate him trying a bunch of times.
Speaking of revitalizing old shows, one of them which has actually got picked up, Bergerac, which there's a new version of that. It's a classic 80s sort of to 90s cop drama. It starred John Nettles in the original. This new version comes from Toby Whitehouse, who was the man behind Being Human. It's a modern day reimagining which will honour the original detective drama with a contemporary twist, as Bergerac is thrown into a knotty high stakes police investigation and challenging to its very core. Main difference between this version and the original is it was very much a sort of crime a week show on the original. This will be one story that goes across all six episodes. I mean, fine. I remember Bergerac from my youth. I never really watched it. It's a name. There is an argument that it could sort of end up turning into a sort of generic cop drama, but fine. It's been done by UK TV for UK TV Play and Drama. They've had some success with rebooting these sorts of things as well, so we'll see. There is another one that UK TV, which is a new show which has me rather more interested. It's coming to Alibi. It's called Bookish, and it's written by and starring Mark Gatiss. He writes and stars as the erudite and unconventional Gabriel Book, who from his antiquarian bookshop helps the police to solve a variety of mysterious crimes. With three main cases in the series, each story spans two episode installments. It's set in 1946 London. Also includes Polly Walker from Bridgerton, A Line of Duty, who plays Book's colourful wife Trotty. There's also a bunch of guest stars, including Jolie Richardson. You've got Daniel Mays in there, Jonas Ney, Connor Finch, Elliot Levy. Decent cast in there. It's Mark Gatiss writing a detective series, and his comment was, to misquote Goodfellas, all my life I've wanted to be a detective. So finally gets his wish, and setting it in the sort of 1946 London seems to be very much his sort of wheelhouse. I think he does those historical things quite well, and you know, he's got experience of writing detective dramas through Sherlock, so yeah, sure, why not. But it's called Bookish. It's going to be landing on Alibi at some point, so I think that could be quite a good one.
Yeah, we do like the old detective dramas in the UK. If you want those, of course ITV has more than got you covered. Yeah, I see loads of adverts over there for them. So if this is another one people enjoy, then that's good with that.
Yeah. Over on the BBC, they've announced some new casting for Doctor Who. Verada Sooth, I think her name is, she is joining the second season, as we're putting it, because they kind of reset the dial when Shooty took over for season one.
Fresh start.
So she's joining Shooty and Millie Gibson as a second companion in the second season, which have been rumoured for a while. There is talk of Millie actually leaving, although it seems certainly initially they are going to be on the show together. Whether it does turn out that she leaves halfway through the series, we don't know, but they've got a second companion coming in. Verada has been in Andor, and she also popped up in the apocalyptic drama Hard Sun on the BBC. She was in Strike Back as well. She was in Hannah. She appeared in Jurassic World Dominion, so she's been in a lot of different things. don't know much more about her character other than she is going to be a second companion for Shooty, which, you know, it's always nice having more than one companion. I think, you know, there's many doctors that have had multiple companions. And I think this is great.
I remember when Jodie have three companions, or am I misremembering? She had like two or three or something.
Yeah, she had three.
Because she had the two people from Hollyoaks and then whoever the Bradley Walsh, wasn't
Walsh,
it?
Yeah.
So those are all quite good. Yeah, hopefully Millie doesn't leave the show, because that would be a bit unfortunate, but because she was, well, pretty much everything about the new episodes that we got, these most recent ones, the 60th and the Christmas one, were absolutely brilliant. Gave Doctor Who a fresh kind of start. I think naming this season one rather than, is it 14? Is the other alternative?
I think so, yes.
I think naming this season one, you know, Russell's back, you've got the Disney money, you've got like, the, you know, just kind of a fresh start, I think is a smart thing to do. See, I think that's very good. I have seen a lot of these things that this actress is in, but I can't sort of particularly pinpoint her.
Yeah.
But as long as I think her joining these two rather than replacing one of them would be ideal. So yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
You know, if Millie leaves sort of halfway through, that's the one thing. Well, at least they're going to be on screen together for a while, for at least some of the season, which is good. So that's all the news we've got for this week. Just some highlights for next week on TV. So, highlights for next week. We've got Resident Alien returning for its third season. That's on Sky Max on the 17th of April at 10 p.m. Very much looking forward to Alan Tudyk coming back in that. It's a great, great show. We've got Feud, Capote versus the Swans, technically the second season of that, but that is coming on the 17th of April. That's the Ryan Murphy anthology series. The Wonderfully Bonkers La Brea returns for its third and final season. That's on the 18th of April. I'm so looking forward to that. Also on Paramount Plus, we have Ark, the animated series. That's the entire thing dropping, which is based on Ark, the video game. That's on the 19th of April. Superman and Lois, as we mentioned earlier, the third season of that dropped on BBC One on the 21st of April at 3:15 in the afternoon, but I rather suspect that it will all be on iPlayer from that date as well, because it will probably be chopped to bits at 3:15 in the afternoon. So, go watch it on iPlayer. And Red Eye, which is coming to ITVX on the 21st of April at 9 p.m. This is a new six-part drama series set on an all-night plane flight between London and Beijing and the corridors of power within Whitehall. Richard Armitage is one of the leads in that. So if you like Richard Armitage, I think that's going to be one worth checking out, definitely. But 21st of April for Red Eye on ITVX. So check that one out. And that is everything for this week. If people want to find more of you, Matt, where can they find you?
You can head over to entertainmenttalk.org and your podcast platform's the same name, TV, Games, Films, Monday Night Podcasts. We just put in our worst performance of the season, which is a 2-2 draw against Bournemouth. There's lots of words to describe that. Of course, I've already said those words. I want to say congratulations to Bayer Leverkusen. They just won their Bundesliga, which is the German league, unbeaten. So that's brilliant. What else did I do recently? Of course, got the chat podcast, which is our a much lighter episode this month. I sometimes talk about the bad things that are going on in the world, but we had our 8th Entertainment Talk anniversary recently. Of course, my 30th birthday is coming up, and a new tattoo. I talked more specifically about that over there. So April's become a very sort of personal month for me, which is
awesome,
which is nice. What else did I do recently? Twisted Metal. Did a must-see review for that for season one. I really, really enjoyed that. Again, they made a lot out of nothing, really, over there, so that was brilliant. Gaming Talk still there, obviously. Star Trek Discovery, going through that, so I've been covering that weekly. What was the other thing I did? Yeah, lots of other stuff. TV, Games, Films, Main Eye podcast, so have a look out for that. I'll have a special podcast on my birthday. It's already ready to go, so look out for that on Wednesday. Won't say what it's about, it'd be a nice surprise, so that's coming out as well. I've been streaming a little bit more recently, so if you want to follow me on Twitch, SETalkUK, it's for the Lies of P streams. I know I've mentioned that game here a few times. Still slowly going through that game. I'm on chapter 7 out of 11, I think. So I'm getting there. So you can follow me over on Twitch over there. If you missed those streams, they're archived on YouTube, which is also where the PS5 streams happen. And that's YouTube Entertainment Talk Plays, if you want to catch that stuff over there. And that's me at the moment.
Excellent. So go and check Matt out over at entertainmenttalk.org. Beck's still away on hiatus, so you can't find her right now. And Daryl, you can find at HollywoodNorthNews.net for all those TV series you love which are shot in Canada. For us, you can visit the website at geektown.co.uk throughout the week and see all the latest air date information. If you want to get in touch with your questions or comments, email us on podcast@geektown.co.uk. Leave a message on the website post. Find us at Geektown on Twitter, on Facebook at facebook.com/Geektown, on YouTube at youtube.com/Geektown, on Blue Sky at Geektown, on Instagram at Geektown UK, TikTok at Geektown UK, and Threads at Geektown UK. That is everything. We shall see you next week. Bye bye.
Bye.
Hey, it's Danny Pellegrino from Everything Iconic. Ready to upgrade your style game without blowing your budget? Check out Quince. They've got all the good stuff, shirts and polos, activewear and fine leather goods, all at 50 to 80% less than other high-end brands. And the best part? They're all about safe, ethical and responsible manufacturing. Get that luxury vibe without the luxury price tag. Hit up quince.com/upgrade for free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. That's quince.com/upgrade.